Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Six Packs with Expats. My name is Patrick.
And I'm Carl.
And we are
CP Travels. Squaw! All right, everybody, welcome to another very special episode of Six Packs with Expats. We are here with three lovely guests and Patrick and my wonderful self. Without further ado, we'll just get right into it and allow them to introduce themselves.
Wait, is Faith still a guest? Like, she been in the last four episodes.
Faith, is she's still a guest.
Unless CP Travels, unless we're CPF Travels.
We talked about this.
Faith is in the intro.
Right, exactly. Thank you.
So I'm a guest until I'm in the intro.
Yes.
Faith don't drink enough to be in the intro, so.
That's fair.
All right, cool. You can be a guest.
All right, sorry. Go ahead. Faith, y'all know she here. She ain't introduce herself no more. She tired of that. All right, next.
I'm KT. Well, okay.
I'm about to ask you a little bit more.
I'm from KT. I'm from Texas. Came here back in January. I haven't been here too long.
What day did you come in January?
January 2nd.
Oh, okay. It's not my birthday. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm Dee from Detroit. I've been here 3 years. Second year, Taipei. First year, Jimin. That's about it.
Wait, Jimin? Ah, we're going to get into that.
We're going
to talk about that. I'm trying to get
some questions I need to answer. Sorry, so let's jump into it. KT, what brought you to Taiwan? What was the entire process like for you? Like, what was the thinking behind it? What got you here and what's been keeping you here?
So this opportunity came really out of the blue. I'm a contractor. I was prior military. I have a military secret clearance.
She can't tell us exactly why she's here.
I can't tell you anything.
Can you wink about it?
A recruiter called me and said that, this came available. Looks like you meet the criteria. He found me on a web-based database.
The internet, nigga?
Yeah. anyway. You build a profile, for jobs. It's called clearancejobs.com. I built the profile, and I usually get recruiters that call me from anywhere, everywhere. So this one was like, hey, we got this job, and looks like you're a good candidate, and, we want to interview you. And it kind of went from there.
Essentially, it's Tinder for work.
Yeah.
He swiped right on your profile.
It's the third podcast
in a row that we've talked about Tinder.
Yeah, it was a podcast called Love Me Tinder. I didn't get that many listens, but they should listen to it. It was dope. It was a follow up to another one. But anyway, so it's a secret military online clearance database for people to find you and give you jobs. Okay, and I know.
You need to have previous clearance in order to get on that?
Yes.
Okay. I can't just sign up.
No,
it's like in order to be on like Christian Singles Meet, you gotta be an actual Christian. Like, you gotta put in your church home too.
You gotta meet criteria.
You gotta have a church email address.
Shut up.
I'm sorry, y'all.
I'm not gonna be Patrick at newsunnymountbaptist.com.
I'm sorry. You gotta have a church home. Your church email address. I'm sorry, y'all. That was kind of funny. That caught me off guard. So when you found out that when the recruiter told you about the job, right, and you found that you were going to Taiwan, what was going through your mind? Like, were you okay with going to Taiwan? Were you looking at other places, or were you just open to going anywhere?
I was pretty much not anywhere. I mean, a lot of jobs that I do are more like in Afghanistan or, Iraq. And I couldn't do that. Like, I didn't want to do that. I've been there, done that, been deployed. So when it came, fell in my lap, it was a good opportunity because me and my husband were newly married and we lived apart. And they said that I could bring my husband. It wouldn't be a problem. So, like, in deployed locations, I could not bring my husband or my family. But here, I can have a normal life.
Okay.
See, that's what I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find me a wife who's going to support me and bring me to other places around the world.
Okay.
What does the support come from? Bringing you, or the support come from?
Nah, no matter.
Kid. Oh, okay.
No, he just wants
support. Yeah. Wait, so I'm interested. So is your husband also in the military, or what? What was he doing during that time? And when you told him the news, what was his reaction to Taiwan in particular?
He was a correctional officer in Mississippi, working for federal correctional officer. Anyway, he's also an Army Reserve. So I just got out of the Army Reserve or the Air Force Reserve, and he kind of was like, "Oh wow, Taiwan! Like, man, that's crazy. I can come with you." Because of course, I said yes to the job. Like, okay, you know, I did the interview, but I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll go." But you know that when you really realize that you're married, it's like, "Oh, I gotta talk to my husband." You know, I just can't make a decision. So I had to call him, and he was like, you know, "Well, did you tell him what your husband said?" You know, okay, you know. So anyway, he was like, "Hey, if you get the opportunity," he recently had quit his job, and then he was just gonna move to Texas with me. And you know, he lived in Mississippi, I lived in Texas, so it was something like, okay, this is something that we can both do, move to Taiwan and go ahead and be together. You know, it's gonna be our first opportunity. I'm making money, and we can be together.
Mm-hmm. So. Hey, I have a serious question.
What?
If you're in the military, do you need a passport?
Yeah, like,
you don't need a passport, okay. But you know, if you do need something, that they'll provide for you.
Okay. Well, I mean like a passport. Well, okay. Yeah. You said passport, so I know. Let's make sure. Okay.
So you said you were in the Air Force Reserve, so you know how to fly military aircraft?
No, I just ports. I hate when people say that. You fly planes? No, I don't. I support jets.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I do. I'm a supply person, basically.
On the tech side?
Yes.
Okay, the
tech side. I was about to say, like, what do you mean when you say support jets? Like,
I'm the support. That. Like, you know, I'm on the ground.
You like customer service.
Yeah, customer service. Like, any parts about the plane, I go get. That's pretty much what I do.
Okay.
So if your commander-in-chief comes, like, what's, like, the protocol for that if you fly to Taiwan? Do you have to, like, go and be with the Secret Service? Like, do you have to salute him? Like, how does...
I mean, I'm not in the military no more, so I don't ask nobody.
Okay.
But yeah. So, but I will give him some respect.
Okay.
You know, because without him, you know, I probably would not be here. So, I will give him his respect. I'll stand up, you know, but I ain't saluting nobody. I'm just saying.
Now, on the subject of standing up, national anthem comes out. What you doing?
I'm gonna stand up.
That's tough. Okay.
I'm gonna stand up. I mean, because I fought. Personally, so I mean, no hard feelings about what everybody else is doing. You know, we fought for everybody to have those rights.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even in being deployed and you know, seeing like all these shootings happening, black folks, we like, well, what are we doing here in Afghanistan? What are we fighting for? Because our people don't have justice back home, and we don't really have a place. And but we respect, you know. Any rights that anybody has, like either if you prejudice or whatever, I respect it because this is what we fought for. I mean, at the end of the day, that's their choice. I can't do nothing about it.
You can shoot them.
No, sir.
I'm just saying you can. Like, that's always an option. I'm not saying you
CB Travels does not advocate to shooting and killing people. That's why I put that in there. Patrick also is not a licensed gun holder. So moving right along. So Casey, on the subject of Taiwan. All right, so you get the job, your husband agrees, you guys get here. What was your first few months like being in Taiwan? Like, how did you feel? How did you adjust to the lifestyle here? All that good stuff.
First getting here, you know, I was a little nervous because of the language barrier. That was a big thing. You know, all I knew was ni hao. That's all I knew.
That's all I know right now. Oh my God. Tell my kids that today.
So that was a challenge, but we found, you know, we got Google Translate, and you know, we had met people that can speak English and they can translate for us. But I mean, it was a good experience, especially being husband and wife. We got to experience it together. We went to some lake. That was something cool that we did. And, I mean, we adjusted quite well. I mean, being in the military, it makes you, you know, adjust pretty fast.
Like, yeah,
you adapt to anything. I mean, it's better than being deployed. So, I think we adapted pretty well. I mean, just doing things, even riding the scooter together, that was something. Like, wow. Like, yeah, he didn't really...
He in the back.
Yeah.
I was about to ask who was sitting on the back.
Because the first time I had recorded him getting on the scooter, and he like, yeah, I can do this. I roll four wheelers. So I get the camera out like, so kid you not. He like the scooter like floors, and like he doing a wheelie on the scooter. I'm like, oh my God.
Whiskey.
Yeah. So basically, that was our little first moment with the scooter, and you know, he scared me half to death. But I also had a car as well, but it was too much money. It was, I think, about $800 U.S. dollars per month.
Oh,
Jesus! So I said, I'm about to ride this scooter, you know, till the wheels fall off. And I didn't know how to ride a scooter or anything, but that was something I had to adapt to. And you know, the clubs here, they lame. The EDM and they were lame. But Taichung is a good place to live because like you get a mix of everything. You know what I mean? Like I had a friend, Jai is slow, Taipei too fast. Like Taichung is like right in the middle.
Yeah, it's like a good mix of yeah. So I guess you guys know, like Casey lives in the same city that Patrick and I currently reside in. We lived in Taipei before, similar to D. And we also live in Taichung now. And Jai is south or north of Taichung?
A little bit further south.
It's in the southern part of the island. So I know what I think is really interesting is that I know for a lot of people that we talk to on the podcast or just meet in general, a lot of them come to Taiwan by themselves. Or they've heard through someone else they come here. But you know, when you come here with somebody else, you don't really know them that well. It's like, oh, they could look out for you, but they also could not. A lot of times, for I know for me and Patrick, it's like, okay, when he came, we could live together. We didn't at first, but we could. And for Faith, it's like, she's a woman. Like, she not, I mean, she could live with me and Patrick, but she also doesn't. So, I mean, I guess we what I'm trying to say is
house.
That yeah, we definitely have
and
a bigger house.
Bathroom.
So I think it's an interesting, I want to know more about like that experience in and of itself, like coming here with a husband and doing everything together versus coming here by yourself, having to figure a lot of those things out and make those transitions on your own and like those different kinds of feelings that you have. So I guess I'm kind of segueing into D and like your experience. How did you end up coming here, getting to Taiwan, and starting your journey?
And where you at now? Because I know you be moving.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, so I initially came to Taiwan with under a grant, Fulbright grant.
Fulbright.
Small thing.
Said they don't have them over here. We Fulbright.
No.
Bars.
Stop.
You can use that.
You're making me nervous. Yeah, when I first came here, I did that. And so I was teaching in the smaller island of Kinmen, as I mentioned before, which is kind of closer to China, off the south, what is that, west coast of Taiwan.
Yeah.
And so that was quite unique. I would say that my experience is probably a little bit different in that finding housing and all that was kind of done for me. And I don't know if yours was similar. You still had to find?
No, everything was pretty much set for me.
Right. So I think in terms of that, I didn't have that initial like adjustments shock of trying to figure out like where I was going to stay and who I was going to stay with and all that. It was initially done for me. But then the second year when I moved to Taipei, that's kind of when I had to go through everything and kind of segue into what I would consider like actual Taiwan independence, where I change positions within my company and I start working on the back end of Fulbright. So now I'm a trainer and advisor. So I do workshops around Taiwan, which is why I'm always moving around, which is why I'm here now. In doing that, that was like actually having to then deal with landlords and pay bills and all that kind of stuff. And obviously I've done those things before in America, but doing all that in Taiwan now. And I would say it's challenging in that before I felt like I had a built-in kind of network base or built-in friend base, but when I moved to Taipei, it was all new, it was all fresh. Even though I had then gained some experience with Mandarin, I still felt like the community in Taipei is much larger, so you're not like the natural of like, I guess, expats coming together is not as much as it was in Jinmen.
Yeah,
because there, since it's only, 20 of us on a whole island,
everybody
knows each other, and so when you're doing something, or if there's an event or something, or, you know, a house party or anything, you know all the people that
everybody's
are there.
Strong. Yeah.
But in Taipei, I just didn't have that at first until I met some more people and just started to get out a little bit more.
She talking about my cousin.
until I met Stephanie and so Kenya and stuff. And then eventually meeting you guys and KT and everybody and now Faith. And
so many black people in this house.
Y'all make
the house smell just
naturally. Oh yeah, it's the natural.
So I guess I have an open question for all the black people in the room. Man, I feel good to say that. How have all of us found community? And community, that word meaning a lot of different things, but community in Taipei and in Taiwan so far.
Yeah,
how have we found community, and what is our community?
Interesting question. That's a good one. You know, that's a good question. Take a little bit of thought.
Reach one kind of community. Mm-hmm. You know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, mm-hmm. and then people just start to connect and hang out with the friend of the friend kind of situation. I think that's how the Black people end up meeting each other.
Definitely.
The Black and brown people. I do still try to have local friends just so that I don't live a perceivably Western life, because I am here in Taiwan and I want to get in tune with the culture and learn something while I'm here. So I think it's important to have a balance of both. Mm-hmm. But I think for us to connect with each other, it just seems to be like a, you know, this
it's person. A natural thing.
Yeah. And when you see each other on the street, you know, it's like,
give that nod.
Right. And when I don't get the nod, though, I'll be like,
you want to know. We got those out here. I forgot.
We do.
You definitely do.
Like that time we waved at that girl on the bus.
I think she might have. Honestly, I think that she might not have known that we was Black.
Don't care.
So what Faith is talking about, the other a couple weeks ago, Faith and I were driving into the city because we wanted to go to a bar. And we saw this other Black girl on the corner, like getting ready to cross the street. So me and Faith, being the Black people that we are, saw this other Black girl out in Asia. We were like, hey, Faith, I think there's another Black girl over there. And she's like, oh shit, that's way better. I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I'm sitting there, actually, it's nighttime. So I turned the lights on my motorcycle towards her. Again, it's a whole bunch of others. It's not just like we the only people out here. I got to explain that for everybody else. I turned the headlights over, like, so she could see it. So she look up a little bit. And me and Faith sitting on the motorcycle, like waving furiously. like, hey, we're Black too. We were mouthing, we're Black too. But again, I don't think she could really tell.
And we had on helmets.
I had on a long sleeve shirt. Like,
I mean, my hands and arms around me.
But I'm just saying, it was also nighttime, and we are Black. So she might have been like,
who is this
right now? Because she hurried across the street.
Yeah.
Once it turned, she was like, she looked up, she ain't waved back. She's like, and then
we're just like, experiences where people do that to you.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're like, let me get the fuck.
I do really hope though that we run into her like again, like one of these like Black people meetups, like that we have out here, and then
call her out.
Okay, so
I was kidding.
I'll be like, hey, I think I've seen you before. You was at that stoplight this one time, and I waved at you on my motorcycle.
You never said hi. And you walked past.
You say hi, so you kept on going, but it's okay because I'm pretty sure you freaked the fuck out.
And I'm here now.
But that's true. So I guess for me, like when I first came to Taiwan 8 years ago, it was I was completely ignorant to everything that was going on. But more, I think also
that subtle flex
there was no like everybody knows this podcast. But essentially there was social media wasn't as prevalent, so there wasn't as many ways to conveniently meet up with different people that were around the island. So for me, like I guess when I thought about community, it was like, all right, I make my local friends, and for my local friends, I make more local friends. And through meeting them, I kind of found out, oh, there's a bunch of foreigners here. Mostly Anglo-Saxon, but there was a dash or two of Black people when I first came. Maybe I think it was five of us. It was me, Moonbeam, and Saida, the only ones that I knew, and then that was it. I didn't meet any other ones. So I guess now, like, how do we all get together? Like, where is our Black people meetup? Is it something that happens all the time? More in Taichung and in Jimin? Like, how did that happen? Or did it happen frequently? Was it anything that was planned? Because when I first came, it was like we had Thanksgivings together, we had Christmases together, we would celebrate Valentine's Day, if you were single together. Like, there was a lot more of community being shown in Don Shui when I was there than I've seen so far since I've been back in just 3 or 4 months, though. So it's not really a good sample size, but just from what I can tell so far.
That's actually really interesting, because I feel like there's been a lot more community-based events happening now than it was beforehand.
For people of color?
For people of color.
Okay.
Specifically for people of color. Because again, like when we first got out here, or when I got out here the year after you, the community was still young. Like you said, like Carl's not joking when he says there was like legit a handful of Black people out here. Like you knew everybody. Like we met Moonbeam and Saida at a Snoop Dogg concert. It was me, Carl, some other coworkers that we worked with at the time. Moonbeam and Saida literally bumped into them out of the crowd, and at a Snoop concert at one of the most popular clubs at the time, Luxie, you would expect for it to be like every single Black person, you know, there. And apparently, every single Black person was there. There's all four of us in the club at that point. But I had noticed that as Taiwan has increased its like its global standing and its political connections with other countries, more and more black people have been coming out. Like it would have been unheard of to have this many of us in the room like 6 years ago. And you're like, man, where y'all come from? Like, y'all must be visiting or something. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, we out here, like, living here now. But, no, like I said, I've just noticed that, or I feel at least that the black people meetups have increased. Because we do have, you know, you got Friendsgiving, the Steph does. I know that they're trying to do an Oktoberfest meetup coming up sometime soon. There was a meetup in Taichung not too long ago, right, that we went to before Faith got here. And I mean, now, even with the podcast, like, we've been having consistently women of color, like, just show up, come out to the podcast. Like, it's slowly but surely happening, but I definitely feel like it's been happening more. I just think it's really interesting how you and I, we're always together, but it's like, you feel this way, I feel this way about it.
Yeah.
We're still different people.
So, I decided to do a little kickback on the, we have a Facebook group, Brothers and Sisters of Taiwan, and I really want to do a kickback just to see, like, who's out there, you know, anybody open to anybody on the Facebook group, and, you know, and I wanted to get some people together, and, you know, hey, because I like bringing people together, and it was a success. I mean, we had drinks, pizza, like, it was cool, yeah.
I was saying, did I leave my wine open over there?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yes.
Man, my bad. Man, I wanted where it come from. I wouldn't go somewhere.
Hey, in case y'all was wondering. All right, Carl and I, we've been trying to find this wine over for the longest. We bought a bottle of wine.
We bought a very expensive bottle.
We stopped buying wine because
and
we couldn't find enough
drink cork with wine. Right.
Yeah, I had to push the cork into the wine. Y'all were like, you know, I already like cut it up a little bit because I was trying to use scissors and a hot knife.
Nah.
I was Googling all kinds of ways to get this thing out.
Damn.
It was a mess.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah. We ended up pushing it through. But.
Kind of related, but not really at all. It's like, at your kickback, there was I noticed my observation. There was a lot of black women there. But there was, I think, even just a handful of black men.
It was four of us.
Why do you guys think that is? Like, and your opinion of
being
in Taiwan.
It was me, Brandon,
like,
and Cyrus.
Like, do black men hang out with other black people? Because I know me and Patrick, to be honest with you guys, we can count on one hand how many black male friends, like, actual friends we have. And it's not just because we're out here, like, trying to get women, but it's just, like, we actually walk on the street and I see other black men, and those are the ones that don't want to talk to us, and from my experience. But I walk on the street and I meet a black woman, of course. Oh, hey, what's up? Hey, how's it going?
I have two theories on this.
We'll get to yours later. But for your, like, for you guys' perspective, like, what do you...
I think women, in general, we're more open to things. I mean, black men, they're different. I mean, even my husband, I don't know him.
Because he's a
sigma.
I'm joking. I'm not joking.
But he's kind of closed. I'm more open. And I like reaching out to people. That's just who I am. And, you know, even my sister, she does the same thing.
Your sister came out too?
I didn't know that. Well, I knew you had a twin, but I didn't believe it at first. I'm like, Katie over taking two pictures of herself. She ain't fooling me. And I was like,
whatever. She'll be here soon, too. So we got to do something when she comes. But yeah, I think guys are just more closed off. I mean, even my coworkers, they stay to themselves all the time. And I try to get them to go and do other things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they mind is on one thing. And it's either money, women, or, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, their mind is on one thing. And, you know, that it's not, I didn't come to Taiwan to meet friends. That's how I feel with them. You know, if they meet somebody, then it's cool. You know, a guy they can just have a beer with or whatever. But that, hanging out, nah. Y'all don't just hang out. You know what I mean? Us women, we like to go shopping. And we actually will try out and to go do things. But guys, on the other hand, like, you guys kind of like, you know, we can go for a beer, but that's about it. We ain't about to go out to eat or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
yo,
like
what's
that.
Up, man? Hey,
it's not like that. So I feel like men are just
steakhouse down the street, trying to go get some of this brown bread.
That's interesting.
I mean, do you guys have any guy friends? Hey, man, y'all gonna go out to eat? Like, y'all used to do that.
I mean, I think For me, I'm Patrick knows this. Like I'm over friendly to like a fault at sometimes. Like I love meeting up and doing group things with people, but I also think that, you know, I think it's a masculine thing too. It's like some people feel a certain way about, again, asking a dude to go out and hang out.
Yeah.
Some people, I'll be found like, again, like, well, to be honest, like some guy, and I did have a weird experience. This guy, I'm not gonna say his name, but he was like, sent me a message. He was like, hey, you wanna go like for a hike? I was like, oh yeah, cool, we can go for a hike. So he like, we can go up to the mountains, like we can, what did he say? He was like, we go to top mountains, like we can just, you know, we can just take our shirts off and sit there and, you know, but he typed this though. We've been in the fresh air and just like, you know, we can just like, just chill out with each other. And like the way he phrased it, I was just like, wait, like, I guess this is a date? Like I had questions about it. But it was really the way he, because he phrased it in the way that was like, it was phrased weird.
He saw your profile and he swiped right too.
So no, but like for that, but I know, so what we like to, go hiking, like we go drinking, shrimping, like, you know, regular Taiwanese stuff. But I guess, yeah. I don't know, for me, I'm fine if somebody invites me out to something, I'm always game to go. But I think I agree, it's like certain ways. I don't know if it's a certain way, I don't know what it is. That's why I like to ask that question. And also talk to other black men about it too, to kind of get their perspective or you guys' experiences as well.
I think that on top of the ego, it's also like, I think we have to remember there's a large mix of the types of black people that are here. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's not as many black American men who might understand more clearly about the, hey, let's hang out, bro, and do this kind of thing. Because there are a lot of black Caribbean men here, a lot of black African men here, mm-hmm. where the culture is so stigmatized towards definitely not being seen as gay. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I think that for sure adds on another layer to that masculinity and that reason why they might not be connecting with each other. And then I think my second theory is that, like, sometimes black men here are in competition for the space of the ladies.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, like...
Dee didn't hop into the headspace.
I'm just saying, I think there's a competition for the ladies' attention and the ladies' space. And I find that black men here often don't hang with black women either. Yeah, I think they like to hang out with... I'm not saying you all. I haven't hung out with you all as much. I tend to meet you or see you guys in communal areas like KT's party or Friendsgiving and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think just like one-on-one type situations, I think the black men here, regardless of their ethnic background or wherever they're from, don't necessarily tend to hang out with black women. They like to find the others. They like to see what's out there, what it is. I think that's like almost a, I've spent my whole year here in Taiwan, why not explore? Why not see? Why not try and do or conquer what I can? Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I ain't mad at. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, do your thing. You know what I mean? So... But I think that definitely adds on to why you might not see us ever a lot with a lot of black men. Mm-hmm. But I think even like, for me, before, because in G-Men, I was the only black person. So I think my experience was like yours initially. And a whole island of people, the only person, a brown person, not just black person, the only brown person. So when I moved to Taiwan, there was like an extenuating force pushing me mm-hmm. to meet and get out and see people, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But had I moved to Taiwan first and maybe experienced what could sometimes feel like that facetiousness of blackness here, then maybe I would recluse too and not, you know, like, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, maybe I would just like back off too. But I think that I dove like head first into like, when I got to Taipei, oh, it is more black people here, so I want to do things. And
instead of one, it's all a six.
Right, it's all
right.
All six of us. I mean, things like the Facebook groups are great, you know, especially the, what is it, Brothers and Sisters in Taiwan, mm-hmm. and even
like Taiwan
expats, yeah. and even like KT said, so the program I worked for, there weren't any black women, really. Like, there was like one, twos, and fews each year.
Ooh, one, twos, and fews. Yeah, I got to that. We're going to do something with that one. Like, let's call this podcast that
one. I'm about to get my notebook out. Sorry, jotting down my friend on the show. Yeah, it was just one, twos, and fews when I was initially starting. So the next year, when I again got into whatever, I felt like I wanted to foster some community amongst mm-hmm. the women and the people of color who had came. So just trying to hold like black people meet up type dinners and trying to, you know, make sure we all know each other and see each other and get together, because that definitely wasn't my experience initially. So I was like, you know what, let me do what I can, you know, to reach out and bring people together. But yeah, on the black man issue, I don't know, what's up with y'all? Like, tell us. All right,
I'll tell you, I got ideas on it. So one, black men, I just noticed that we just don't travel as much as black women.
Yeah.
And that was something that I used to lament to Carl all the time. Shout out to me for the word lament. But I used to lament to Carl about this all the time. Like when we would travel and go to like all these other countries, we would always run into black women, but very rarely would we see black men out.
Yeah. That's true.
So that's one thing, and I do think that's why it's been so hard to find black male friends out here. But then also, you are dealing with egos. You're dealing with masculinity issues. You know, it's like, cool, hey man, I want to go climb a mountain with you and I want to take my shirt off. I get hot when I get to the top of the mountain. Man,
it was a lot more words. I kind of consolidated.
I understand what you said. Like, so for example, like, hey man, when we went on that hike, we went on a hike to a waterfall.
Yeah, we also
the whole time. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we went to other women, but still, you and I essentially went on a hike to a waterfall. Granted,
just two bros
walking around. When we got up there, I'm pretty sure I took my shirt off because I was hot as hell. I understand the wording.
You don't say that.
The wording.
Like, oh, I can't wait to get to top of that mountain, take my shirt off.
Like, hey, look, I'm just letting you know. Maybe you don't kind of experience this.
Great guy.
Yeah,
but
he
was a great guy.
But no, I do think it's like it does have something to do with a lot of like just black, not just black, but male masculinity and male fragility, like just issues with that. Like, hey man, I want to be your friend, but I don't want to say I want to be your friend. We just gonna hang out.
Are we talking about so often. Black men hanging out with black men or black men liking?
Right now I'm talking about black men. Right now I'm talking about black men.
Because that's what she was talking about.
Well, I want to get to that. Yeah, I'm gonna get to that one in a second. But again, like, I think that black men don't hang out with other black men, and like you also said too, it's for a lot of us it's a competition. Mm-hmm. Especially, and this is the thing, and now this kind of gets into the black women, especially if you're a black man that likes black women, but you just so happen to live on a small island with a very limited black female selection. Yeah, population.
And my follow-up question is with that, like, do you guys, like, how do you, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but it's just like, there is a, you know, I know there are a lot of black women that have come here and said, like, oh, I hate hanging around with, or I dislike hanging out around with. Too many black men because I feel like, you know, we're just always like being hunted. She used the word hunted. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, well, shoot.
Hanging out with black men?
Black women. She hates hanging out around a lot of black men because it's like, she walks in the room and it's like, oh, I know they're just trying to like get with me, hook up with me. And I'm just like, yeah, like, you gotta understand, man, it's not that many of y'all. So when I see one of y'all, I may be over friendly. It's not that I'm trying to hook up with you. I'm trying to hook up with you. Like, I'm trying to connect with you so I can see you doing certain parts of the year. But I don't know how that experience is for you guys, for the women.
Again, no, it's the same thing. Because again, like, I've noticed that out here, like, especially towards black women, I'm a lot more friendly than I am towards other people. Because, I mean, I love black women. And if there's a possibility that we're gonna be more than friends, I'm like, oh cool, go ahead, we're gonna see what's up.
Don't shoot that shit.
But yeah, you know, shoot.
My friend put it to me this way, this my black male friend who I hang out with here often. He put it to me like, and I don't know how I take this, I'm still, you know, mulling over it, how I feel. But he was like, the reason he goes for non-black women is because black women in Taiwan are looking for something more. It's the reason that maybe we are here in Taiwan, or the reason we are abroad, you know. We're setting ourselves, we've traveled, we know what we want, we're looking for more, we're not trying to play no games. And he said he goes for the non-black women or Taiwanese or whatever women it is that he finds because they are cool with playing around. And he was like, he was like, they got time. Basically, like, they got time, they can play around. And he was like, well, honestly, I ain't looking for nothing serious. So since I just want to fuck around and I don't want to do that to a black woman, that's why I only fuck around with non-black women. And when I'm ready to get serious, of course he plans on marrying a black woman or something like that. But I mean, again, I'm not sure how I feel about that. That is his take on it. I'm just throwing it out there.
No.
Yeah, and
we definitely encountered like some other dudes who felt the same way. They didn't necessarily how I feel, but
that's very real.
I mean,
like I said, I don't know.
That's
snapped up.
I mean, at least he knows himself to be like, I don't
want to. Oh no, it's definitely a
cop out. Thanks for not wasting your time.
It is definitely a cop out. Hey, Faith, hold on real quick. Juliet is at the bottom. If you go to that bottom right corner where it says R, and then go up
right
to J, it's back.
Yeah. Okay, so for me, like, okay, competition. One of the things that I heard another black man talk about was like, all right, if we're both, for example, me and Patrick go to a bar. Bunch of people in the bar, Taiwanese, of course. Like, is that they said, oh, you take away from my shine, we're together. So if we've been in the bar and black men literally walk past us, it's like, oh, y'all niggas in here having fun, I'm about to walk past and go to the other side of the bar. that's my, this is my space over here, your space over there, let's not meet up in the middle.
They do
so that way. Because if you're black and you walk into a bar with another black people, you feel like when everyone else walks in, they immediately group you together. Like, oh, y'all, you must know each other.
Yes.
And I really don't, I really dislike it. It's like, oh, you know him? No, I have no idea what this. He's just, yes, a DJ. I'm new to here. Oh, I thought y'all knew each other. Why? Because y'all black. But at the same time, we kind of do that in America. I know I've definitely done that in America when I was younger. Like, oh, y'all Chinese, y'all know each other. I'm Korean, I'm Japanese.
No, we definitely, you know what I'm saying?
Like yeah, that ignorance that, you know, I had back, you know, before, yeah, I was well traveled. So yeah, it's just,
no, everyone, I think everyone to some extent carries with them some air of ignorance. Where we do either consciously or unconsciously. Whichever one of them words work. Where we do that, where we group people together based on certain things. Like, oh, look, out in town, motherfuckers walked in. Y'all must be together. There ain't no way y'all came out here. It's
not like a theory.
It's seven people who are like 6 feet tall.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for a bit. Don't we be knowing each other?
We do be knowing each other.
Maybe we don't be cool, but we be knowing each other.
For the most part, we do be knowing each other. But just because I know you don't mean.
I don't want to be grouped that way. Yeah. Don't know that. I 100% agree.
Just because I know you don't mean I came in here with you. Or that I want to talk to you right now.
I guess when I first came to South
Africa. Okay, right. When you first came.
I didn't know anybody.
We were at Bootleggers. We were Bootleggers a couple weeks ago, and saw them black dudes in there. They had braids and shit. We walked in, and I'm like looking around. I'm like, oh, look, these two black dudes are there. I'm gonna go at some point. I'm gonna walk over there and say, what's up? And I did. I was like, hey, what's up? Where you get your hair braided? He was like, nah, man, I ain't trying to talk right now. And I'm like, oh, well, damn, then why you do that? All right, couldn't have walked off. But I'm like, if somebody else would have been like, hey, y'all are grouped together. I'm like, nah, I don't know this motherfucker over there.
But yeah, and then those.
But yeah, I ain't know him at all.
I think, honestly, like, me in Taiwan, I don't really approach like because sometimes you do get responses like, no, I ain't with that. Either, I don't know if it's whether because of, I don't know what's going on in their mind when they, again, it might just be because, like, no, you're in my space, or you're taking away my shine. This is my spot. You're a new nigga here. Like, I strongly dislike that. And I wish it were different. I don't really know how to go about changing that. But I think you do right. Like, in Taipei, when we went out, we knew who that person was. Either we knew him or somebody we knew in Taipei knew of them when they talked about them before. I'm like, oh yeah, that's Kenny. I did. Like, that's Kenny or whatever. So yeah, that definitely.
Hey, so I got a question. So y'all hear that often? Like, niggas be saying to y'all like, oh, I ain't trying to talk right now?
I've heard that several times.
Oh. For real?
Or just simply not talk to us. Because again, like, and if I'm an American, if you're in a place with somebody, or you're like a small space, because Taiwan ain't really got no big ass clubs. You're
right. Yeah, exactly.
Not no more than bitches to get shut down.
So like, if you're in a space, it's just common courtesy to go to say what's up to somebody.
Right, right.
And but here it's like, no, like, they don't want that at all. And it's from, sometimes I'm like, all right, maybe they just might be, because usually we walk in, well, not usually, sometimes we walk in with a black woman or Taiwanese friends, and they're literally by themselves.
Yeah.
So maybe they just feel like, oh, you're going to come in and take, I really think it's just you're going to take my shine away.
Yeah.
And they don't really like that. But I've had that several times. Not so much in Taipei, but in like smaller areas or like in smaller settings. And actually, yeah, in Taipei too, in smaller settings, they're like, no, you're in my space, bro. You in here, that's cool, but do y'all think I'm doing my own thing? Let's meet up later on Facebook or something like that.
That's fair. I mean, because I don't think I ever have heard right out, you know. I definitely, like, you may feel it, you know, like, oh, she ain't really trying to hang out.
Yeah, exactly.
We meet each other, we exchange information, but we ain't really never
trying to hang
out.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we like, might be something, but I guess that's that, you know, like, female, nice, nasty thing that we do, you know. But dang, I never heard just straight out, like,
look,
I
can't
talk to you. Yeah, like, turn up, like,
I saw
what the hell you mean?
7-Eleven. I'm like, you know, I stop by 7-Eleven every day before work, and then he was like, yeah, I see you all the time. I said, well, damn, nigga, why you say hi?
Like, you see me, but you don't say nothing. That's just, right. That's just real life.
That's
like,
man, I see on the MRT every morning, and I've been seeing this man
He's
an
older man.
He waiting
for
you.
No, a young guy. I'm just like.
He waiting for you.
Yeah.
Well, can't be away yourself.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I've always thought it to be strange. And it's like, for me, at least, if you're not going to talk to me, like, you can at least say what's up. Like, hey, what's going on? But like, where you from? Chicago. Yeah. All right, cool. And that's all you want to know is, like, like you said, you can pick up fairly quickly whether or not that person wants to continue to have a conversation with you. You know, I can keep it moving. I just want to show it to me, it's just out of respect. I want to say what's up to you, because you might be I've been out here for 1 or 2 months and you ain't met nobody else black, or you don't know where to get food. You need something. It's like, all right, I've been here, or I can speak the language. Mm-hmm. in the conversation, I pick up on something that you might need, and I can be that resource for you. That's my mentality towards saying what's up to anybody that's by themselves or in a corner, in a bar, or in a club, or anything like that. But a lot of them are just like, nah, I don't want your help. I can figure out my own masculinity thing.
Or not wanting to talk to anybody. That male ego definitely getting in the way. Be blocking a whole bunch of people.
Blocking a bunch of blessings.
Is it male ego or black male ego? Because I've been seeing a lot of white men.
No, they approachable now. They come talk to you though.
White men talk to us all the time.
That's what I'm talking about. So is it male ego or black?
Black male ego.
I don't think it's a positive light, but maybe it's like that need for it sounds bad, but attention. Because, when white men, they already get the attention, and they go back to America, and they already get the, everything's already built for them. But for us, even in America, it's hard to find those spaces that are not black, to be honest with you, where you can get that attention and feel unique and special, right? So when I walk into, if I had to walk into a bar in Taiwan, or in Taichung, it's like, they're looking at Patrick's hair. That's all. I want to ask some questions about his hair. I want to know where you guys are from because he's lighter and he's a little bit darker. Man, where are you guys from? So that makes me feel special in some ways. You generally want to know about me. You want to know where I'm from. You want to ask me questions. But if it's a group of us, number one, you're already intimidated by us because we're black, and it's a group of us. And honestly, me and Patrick, we ain't that big. So people actually feel, in my opinion, more comfortable talking to us because we're just regular sized people. Mm-hmm. But it's also some big, swole, 6 foot plus black dudes. First of all, you short. Look, hey, what's up, nigga? What's your name? It's just a different dynamic when you. It's the way you look. It's just more approachable. The approach people have towards you is based on how you look, and that's really important too. So I think that's also maybe a part of it. And again, I also understand and respect that. When I moved here, I wasn't really looking for attention. My mama gave me enough, but some people really don't. They don't have that same.
You out here being loved.
That same. I came out.
I'm joking, y'all. My mama loved me.
I came out here for the experience and to learn and to just for that. And I stayed out here for the experience and to travel. I didn't really come out here with a purpose, which a lot of people do come out here with a specific purpose and with specific social needs and also with preconceived notions about what it'll be like here. Mm-hmm. That's why the internet has kind of harmed Taiwan because there's so much negative things that you can find out about it or expectations you can have without actually having the authentic experience of just being here. Like, Patrick, you don't remember when you first came to Taiwan, you didn't even have a damn phone for damn near a year.
I remember.
You couldn't talk to anybody, right? I came here, I didn't have any friends, any black friends. I had to, I don't want to use the word assimilate, but I had to adapt to my surroundings and figure it out and learn that way. And I think that's different than nowadays. You can Google, all right, where black people at? Google it. I can Google what to do. Oh, what time are these girls? Are they easy? Things like that. That's just a reality that we're faced with now. And that's why I think I encourage people when they come to, I'm glad Faith, as much as I know she would like to have a phone, I'm glad she doesn't have a phone. Because it makes her reach out more figure things out and not, become so, with technology,
dependent,
so connected to home when you should be connected to your new space and really, diving into that. And I think that's really important.
All I do is crossword puzzles and read now.
Let's do a book club.
We should definitely do a black person
book club. I've been trying to do a book club for the longest time.
The black people book club.
Hey, I'm not gonna front though. This year my goal has been to only read books by people of color. I've been doing a great job.
That's good.
I'm proud of you. I didn't even read the books that I was supposed to read for TC's kids.
I'm not proud of you.
What you're talking about, the attention. I also think that taste of privilege is I'm not numbing. It's exhilarating in a way, because we don't get the kind of respect back home that we get here. When you come to Taiwan, you get that, especially if you're a teacher or you're in some good type of good job or whatever it is, it's good. Sometimes what might keep us here, to be honest, that taste of that's how I'm supposed to be treated in the world. These people value me,
And you don't have to think too much about that. That's what I was telling them last
time. Exactly. Something about that, it's a tease, you know what I mean? And I think that's what keeps some people here. And maybe that is also the black men have this black men are always sought after around the world, but here is for sure a black pinnacle privileged man, if you're a black man, you get in a club for free and you do this for free. You can't be too many people crowd encroaching on that. I gotta be the one.
I don't think that's
privilege. I don't think a lot of people understand that it's. Yeah, you do. Like I said, you do feel like that.
I definitely don't think that this is a black man pinnacle of the world, but no, like you said, that's not to detract away from that privilege that we get, because I be feeling good as shit when we go out. Like, people be recognizing me. They look at me. They're like, oh, damn, you look different. But you look good. It's like a good different. Like, I want to know more about
I mean,
you
still like it, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
What you saying? Huh? Even like, the hair, like,
all the rappers. Oh, yeah, people love that shit.
Yeah, with rappers and stuff, yeah.
Carl and I was talking about this shit over the weekend. We was like, you know what, if you out here and you black, you get so much freedom to be like shitty as shit that you would get like clowned about back at home. Like,
yeah, for real.
You come, like, I could be a fucking rapper. Only like, I really do got bars though. But
so do I.
I could be a rapper out here. I could definitely be a rapper out here. I had a whole series of Cameron bars. Yeah. I don't even want to hear shit. You know, we'll say that. We'll say that for the end of the podcast. Hey. Like, even that, like that shit you just did, like that weak ass beatbox.
That shit'll work
here. We put your ass on the microphone. Your ass did it fucking pop.
Right. I feel it coming.
You can take the most basic, house party playlist that you made and go be a hip hop DJ. It's weird just being black. Like, you just, we do get a lot of privileges for being out here. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but
it's something that, again,
it's something to deal with. Like, it does feel good. Damn, privilege is dangerous.
That's why white people chat
about it. Don't you see how
they get mad?
Racism makes a whole lot of sense now. Shit.
No, it don't.
There we go.
It never makes
sense. I'm shut that down real quick for
y'all. Let me tell y'all. Can you believe that? Remember the old girl called Felicia?
Oh! You should probably tell that story.
She was white though. She was white. She gonna come up to us. Y'all be sitting outside of a bar. We on the curb, sitting down. We had our heads down because, yeah, we have been drinking or whatever. So she gonna come over. Wake up, Felicia. me and Dominic looking at each other.
Fucked up thing is that y'all woke up fast as
hell. Like, we was already like, you
it was
know, somebody
a tenth night.
Yeah, it was because, yeah, somebody else had to get checked for calling, you know, just saying the N word. So, anyway, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm like, let me educate this girl. And I said, why are you calling us Felicia? What's wrong with you?
KT had more patience than
right, because all she did was put her head down.
Nope, nothing over this today.
And then she was like, what's wrong, Felicia? I call everybody Felicia.
But then what'd you say to her though? What'd you call
I said,
her?
What if I called you Becky?
And how did she
How would
hear?
You feel? And then she was like, oh, you know, please don't call me Becky. I feel like I'm gonna punch you in your face.
I would have went straight for the cracker.
Right. And I'm like, excuse me.
And what if I call you cracker?
I said, well, when you called us Felicia, we felt we was gonna beat your ass. what'd you think?
Oh, I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I didn't
know. You know, it was just a joke.
I mean, I called everybody Becky.
You knew something. I wanted to beat your ass.
Like, so like, yeah, baby, it's totally a joke.
She was out of line.
Haha, we'll be your best forever.
But I personally think that you guys respond to it by checking that by saying the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what drunk Carl would have said. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Ooh, that was a healthy burp. But yeah, I couldn't. Like, when you told me that story, I was like, she said what?
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong? Like, what up, Tyson? Like, what's the black name people I always call black?
Tyrone.
Darius.
Tyrone.
Right. She would be like, you're on your way home. You better call Tyrone. I would have been like,
ooh.
Y'all ain't see. Well, KT, as soon as she said it, KT would flip the head back. She got ready to take out an earring that she ain't wearing.
I mean,
deep reach into a bag about to take out a thing of Vaseline.
I mean, being here, we also have to worry about not just the locals, but the other foreigners.
That's the issue.
Yeah, and, you know, even the ones from America, like, they'll bring racism all the way over here. And it's like, why? Do. You know what I mean?
I left because I was trying to get away from that. But you, and
but
I
you
agree.
Shit here.
I met foreigners that literally made it at the bottom. Like, one time, I was like, how do you feel about Trump? Especially when Obama was
like, I can't stand that.
How do you feel about Obama? He's like, as the president. And I'm just like, gee, like, I'm not. Like, yeah, I'll talk shop with you, but I don't want to talk about, like, negative things that I generally, like, don't have to talk about. Especially, I don't think a lot of coworkers.
Like, I don't get MSNBC out here for a reason.
Exactly. Like, I don't. People are like, oh, you hear about this happening? Some people really do keep up with those things. I don't necessarily. I just don't.
You can tell the ones that try to buzzword you, too. Like, Trump, how do you feel?
They want to know.
I don't care.
I just be telling you, like, oh, well, people have always been racist. You know?
This is not really new to us.
It's changed. Like, same crazy that you guys are just realizing it, but.
Wow, that shit is crazy.
Didn't even say, yeah, just new bracelet. Yeah, so I mean. So, what, I guess for expats, well, not all of us, but what challenges do you guys face in Taiwan? And, I'll get to that later.
It ain't what, a barbecue
where are your happy places in Taiwan? Like where do you go when you just, where's your safe zone? Your place of, I go here and I need to feel happy. I need to, you know, wind down and relax beside your home. Where do you go for that sense of, the sense of home, I guess?
Friends. Yeah. Like,
that, maybe somebody else's house. I can't say mine.
When I threw the kickback, I was like, I was hoping to feel that sense of home. You know what I mean?
But did you?
I did. I really did.
Okay.
Yeah,
you said,
I did.
When you first said it, you like, when I first threw it, I was like, damn, you just spun it as fuck.
You know, black folks are late, you know how y'all are.
First of all, your house is far as hell away.
It's not that far from here. It's literally like 10 minutes. Barely.
Look, let me have it.
But I felt a sense of home when everybody came, and you know, we played
Flip Cup. Man, I was so mad. My team lost every fucking round.
Pictionary.
Hey, I was killing it in Pictionary.
Y'all play Uno.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good to talk with people that are like minded and you know that look like you. I was trying to feel a sense of home, like okay, because I don't have family here. I mean, I got my husband, but he's deployed and. All I got is my little brown dog, you know. That's all, you know. I wanted to do something with what I used to throw kickbacks and, you know, in college and be with my family. And I'm the type of person trying to bring people together, and that's what I wanted to do. That's my goal. That was my little sense of home. And I plan on doing it in the future, too.
Let's see. I mean, ditto.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I like being by myself. I find that I'm a loner kind of person. You know that about me.
Sorry, that was outdoor. The wind blew it shut.
We got a vacuum going on in the crib.
That
was
a ghost. is finding a nice park. Taiwan is great for green spaces. So finding a nice park with a bottle of red wine and a good book and just chilling out. I just like a bike ride. You know, the e-bikes are great here. That's a sense of home. Was the question sense of home or sense of happiness?
Home and happiness.
Oh, okay.
You know what they say, home is where the happiness is. Something like that. That's my line name. And it's my name online. That's not a camera. And that camera's dead. You can see the point.
Yeah. So just any quiet space to think. I think Taiwan has allowed me more space to think and just be in those thoughts that I've ever had in my life.
You ain't got to worry about getting shot like that.
Right. I mean, not even that. It's just like there's a certain pace that comes with life in America that like here, yes, you're doing your shit, you're doing your thing, but you also just have time for self. Yes. You have time for self-care, whether it's doing a face mask or having time to deep condition my hair, those kind of things, you know, just a Sunday, I know you said like not home, but a Sunday spent at home with, again, a nice bottle of red wine, if you want to buy me, get out.
Sponsor us, red wine makers.
Reggae Red.
Red wine and Tommy John.
Very related. You want to do face masks and deep condition our hair this weekend?
I'm moving to my apartment this weekend.
Wow, so no.
No.
that was a soft
one. I'm going to be doing this weekend? Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy myself a nice bottle of red wine. I'm going to deep condition my hair.
Can you do Ava's hair too?
Get your own fantasy.
Right.
Right.
Ava's fantasy right now.
I'm going to do it in the shower too. I'm going to sit in the shower with the water on.
Just so dark showers. So yes, steamy. Yes, yes.
Do you guys utilize the abundance of massage places and hot springs? And
I tried to. The first day I went to go get a foot massage, the people asked me, you just want your feet rubbed? And I was like, yes, I just want a foot massage. And they were like, but why? And then maybe like after 10 minutes, they were like, we don't do that here. We don't just rub feet. So then the next day, tried to get one, but they forgot about me completely while my friends went and got massages.
That sounds like a sad story.
Uh-huh. Oh, Debbie Downer. So yeah, so do you guys utilize the
short answer?
I sure do. Every time I get paid. Y'all know what I'm here for. You know, y'all already know. The usual. I sure do. Yeah, I even got a chiropractor now. Shoot, he put in work only for $1,000 for a full hour. I'm like,
oh, he does massages
for the chiropractor.
Yeah, then he cracks. He does his adjustments and stuff.
Wherever you go,
I'll find out.
I'm never gonna go back to that.
I can't afford chiropractors out there. That's without insurance.
You know where?
In Detroit.
Detroit.
Oh.
Give me another one
for free.
A very discounted price. Now.
Y'all went to this one, this spa. Sure. I kind of got like a vibe when I walked in. I'm like, you know, oh, cause not a lot of places do like oil massages. I don't know, they like to be rough and stuff. Anyway, I was like, y'all do oil massages?
I like the ashy hand massage.
The vibe I was getting, I was like, it was kind of smoky in there. I'm like, what is going on?
The massage place?
Yeah, so I'm like, what's going on?
Special one.
Exactly, and then so he was like, we only do men.
Oh, it was
special. Oh, it was special. Oh,
yeah, here with the sexy
time. Yo, KT, off the podcast, send me the location.
Yeah, no.
My coworker was like, what's the name of that?
Where you going? Let me know. Let me know so I can avoid that place.
Y'all go to massages and hot springs?
Oh, yeah, we went to one. We had a massage yesterday.
I didn't. This is one I was talking about when they went and got massages.
Faith had her first one here. I mean, it wasn't, it wasn't because we had places we would go to consistently in Taipei that were a little bit better, but it was a decent massage. But yeah, I try to get a massage once every payday, or you know, whenever I'm out and I get drunk. Drunk massages are the best because, like, you need them. You realize how much you need them right there.
I'm not gonna front. Them drunk massages, you gotta be careful because sometimes you get too fucked up and you fall asleep. And I kid you not, there've been a couple times I woke up in the middle of a drunk massage and the person just be sitting down inside like watching TV or some shit. I'm like, motherfucker, you supposed to be massaging? They're like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Shit like that. But yeah, I really do feel like they be taking advantage of like drunk motherfuckers and they come in and pass out. You like, I'm going to sit my ass down.
But yeah, I mean, for hot springs too, I really enjoy hot springs. And there are a lot of, in Taipei particularly, like hot spring hotels and boutiques you can go to for maybe $60 for two nights.
Up in Beijing.
And then you have a private hot spring in your room, so you can hot spring bath. You have a big bathtub. You can take a hot spring bath in there.
So wait, let me explain that real quick. So for those listening, for those in the room who don't necessarily understand, what Carl means when he says like a private hot spring bath, it's like a hotel room, but you got a big ass bathtub, but the water that you get is all coming from like being pumped in from outside, like from the natural hot springs. So you ain't got to like heat it up or nothing. The water, it feels different because it's like natural hot spring water.
Is it like, does it feel like burning your skin hot or is it just like hot?
It'd be hot.
But
you know, women, y'all be taking them hot ass showers.
Yeah.
So she said, if that's hot, it feels like death.
I was like,
that means like it's burning.
It could be different.
Me and my ex,
we went to it one time, and she loved that hot ass water. I literally sat on the outside. I dipped my toes in. Like I'm gonna wait a little bit.
How you gonna wait? The water's still gonna be hot.
It's still hot as fuck.
No,
I have not.
I'm gonna go with my sister.
I want to go.
No, let me know.
What is it called? Yeah. I just didn't know.
Bougon.
This one of them naked hot springs.
I don't know. Yeah, they love being naked.
I mean, no, that's fine. I'm just trying to figure out what your sister's going to do.
I'm so bad. Get your ass.
That's how you're supposed to do them. But yeah, I mean, and I know there's, you can also, I've driven a few times. I've driven up into the mountains to like the mountain hot springs because that's where the water is the freshest and the you can do hot and cold. So I mean, yeah, I think I definitely utilize hot springs, definitely utilize massages and stuff. Like, yeah, I think that's important.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It in Taiwan, like people take care of themselves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what I'm learning to do: take care of myself. I start doing my little Sunday regimens, like get my little face mask, or I go and give me a foot massage and. I mean, they take care of themselves. Like, you forget that in America.
I can't believe they said no doing face masks with me.
Well, if you hurt my feelings.
I can't just rest in a place where now I pay for
it. No, I'm just, you do your thing.
She thought she was going to rest. We're going to be all up in that. She out of day.
Exactly.
Faye, where you going? All right, I'm down there. The street.
You
I'm drunk though.
You moving Saturday, I'm going to be there.
Don't look. I'm peeing, Faye. Don't look. She got these see-through windows in the back of the shop.
Yeah,
I'm
back in the whole room. So they finna, I'm
dang. I'm peeing, Faith. You can look. Don't look. You can look. Don't look.
Right. Are you looking? I'm going to take you looking? After work. All post. Right. And then, steam that whole thing up.
Faith, you got you on to make three keys. I need three keys. I need one for me, Patrick. Hey, if you need a key too, yeah, thank you.
We're going to put one on Ava, on her collar. So if we're walking her and she get lost, Faith, Ava, go to Auntie Faith's house.
You already know. I'll be ready for that.
So I think I got two more follow-up questions. Thank you guys. It's been an amazing podcast so far. How do you guys, I think something someone actually emailed me and asked 2 days ago. How do women of color, this is a specific question, maintain a healthy work-life balance? I know we just kind of talked about where you find home, but how do you do that? I know, do you have a very different job? Both of you guys have different jobs than us because we're just teachers. But you guys do more than that. So how do you guys maintain that work-life balance for yourselves?
I mean, sometimes I don't work that much, y'all. So sometimes I really don't work that much. It just depends. But I mean, it's not really hard to maintain. It's actually easier here in Taiwan than it was in where I was at in Texas. Like, everybody's understanding. Nobody's judging you. Oh, so she came in late. Well, I know she went out last night. You know what I mean? Like, ain't nobody judging me, nothing like that. So from. It's easy commute, you know what I mean? Like, I got the scooter now. So, I mean, I think I maintain it quite well. I mean, I got a dog that I take care of, but it's pretty easy here.
Your scooter got a name?
No, I didn't name the scooter.
Can I pick a name?
Sure.
His name Jamal.
Him name Jamal. Him name.
Cool name. I didn't know it was a boy. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. But like when you say to maintain a healthy like a work and life balance, what do you mean by that? Like,
well, I mean, I guess for me, it's a lot of people ask like, all right, how do you stay in contact with family? How do you maintain relationships and friendships? Uh-huh. I know you're doing like your husband's deployed. So how do you balance that with going to work with also taking care of yourself? So like, how do you balance all those things? How important to you is keeping in contact with family and like best friends? I know for me, I have a bunch of best friends when I go back, because like, I have never missed a beat.
Wow. Some friends. You got a bunch of best friends?
Really good friends. So like, and then also times the people, friends are just like, I can't connect with you because you don't connect back with me. And they don't really understand that it's a different time zone, 12 hours. Sometimes you sleep, I'm up, vice versa. So how do you guys maintain that aspect of it, like family and friends and beyond that?
I mean, when I call back my friends and family, it's actually not that bad, because it's like, right now it's 12 hours away from where my sister and my mom is at. So, I mean, I talk to them like day and night, you know what I'm saying? Every day, you know, like, you know what I mean? And it's cool because they're very understanding of what I'm going through. They want to learn, you know. My mom, when I come down there, I want to do this and I want to do that. She's like looking up stuff. So, I mean, it's not hard to maintain at all. Then my husband, he's in Iraq, and I think we're 4 hours ahead.
Oh, okay.
4 or 5 hours ahead. So it's not hard at all. I mean, as long as you got people that are very understanding of what you do and the time zone. I mean, sometimes now I get family that contact me, it's 2 a.m. Hell.
My mom still texts me at 3:30 in the morning, trying to figure out what I'm doing.
But yeah, it's not bad at all. As long as you got people who are understanding, that love you and, you know, understand what's going on.
I'm not good at it. I probably don't call home as much as I should.
I'm not your friend, neither do I.
Well, y'all need to call your mom. Oh, I actually talked to my mom today, but
my mom would be texting me.
Again, I think
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
The people that I have, my best friends, have always known kind of my personality, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think they've always known that I just kind of drift off and do me. But like you said, when we see each other, it's like no beats.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think as far as work, specifically work and like personal life, not even connected home, like for me at 6 o'clock, I'm done. Like, I used to take work home. I used to be really like, you know what, I'm going to get this done later. I'm going to come to work and have it all finished. Like, hell no. Like, that's what I got 8 hours in a day for. Mm-hmm. And work and go overwork me, because if I, for any reason, couldn't do that job, they will replace me just as easy. So I'm going to make sure.
The world will keep turning with or without me.
I'll make sure. I think that's what kind of put it into perspective for me. Like, you know what? After the hours of the day are over, I'm going to, you know, have my own time.
Yeah.
I definitely would say from where I used to be, I hated my job, y'all. Like, when I say I hated it, to the point where I was like, I thought I was going to lay hands. So when I came here, it's just like that peace of mind, you know what I mean? Like, just, it's just like a lot of weight lifted off my shoulders. And, you know, I feel like I have an easy going life now. I mean, it was a lot of stress, you know, a lot of judgment. You know, if I made a mistake, I was judged, or I was incompetent, or
you should have stopped making so many mistakes then.
Because it's still in the back of my mind, you know what I mean? And I ain't forgot.
Y'all didn't see, but she pulled the hair back. She used to do a bag, looking for a jar of Vaseline.
But, you know, like when I met Kenya, she said that she never really wants to move back to America, because in Taiwan, she experienced a level of peace, and that's what I have experienced as well. Like,
with Kenya who?
Kenya.
In Taipei, Kenya?
Yeah.
Kenya.
Yeah.
Said she wouldn't move back to America. She experienced a level of peace in Taiwan?
Yeah.
Kenya? It's not a Kenya bracelet. This is.
Okay, I'm about to say.
This is like a Kenyan.
I see. Okay.
Oh yeah, but I guess I'm just like, I'm just in a level of peace, because I know whenever I go home, it's gonna love my family to death. But it's like it is a lot, especially when I've experienced it when I actually physically lived there and I worked there, and how much responsibility I had and how many obligations I had. And once I was removed from that, it was like, oh, and it sounds selfish, but my life was just, it's just about me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think there is a level of, I mean, I like that. I don't think it's. I don't think it's a bad thing to say that I'm living my life for me, because you do only get one life to live. My mother needed me, or my family needs me, I'll of course go back. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, in between time, I just want to have this time for me. And I think a lot of people they struggle with being able to say that. Like, oh, I feel guilty, or I don't want to leave my family, or I don't want to travel for that long because they need me. And it's like, well, it seems like they need you because you're around all the time. But if you remove yourself, you realize that your family goes on. Life goes on. The world keeps spinning. They figure it out without you.
Yeah.
I mean, you are important, but you're not necessary for their life to function at a high level.
Carl, I want
it's
you to
just
understand
you've made yourself
you
necessary.
Are necessary.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we are, but it's like,
feel, I don't want you to feel like
in that familiar or even that best or even that relationship sense.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't want to.
It's like you're a crutch as long as you make yourself a crutch. Yeah. Like, people are dependent on you when you're, like you said, when you're around and when you're visible and when you're accessible.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
The second you become accessible,
you realize that's definitely you know, I've talked about this before on like previous podcasts that we've done, but it's like after a while, you know, I mean, I've been out here for a lot longer, you know, than a lot of other people. And you know, I used to be in like really good contact with folks back at home, and they just like hit me up for like problems or issues or whatever they're having. But after a while, those calls stop. You know, people stop hitting you up as frequently. The responsibility of maintaining or keeping relationships going, it falls back on you. And you realize, like, look, I got a lot going on. You got a lot going on. I'm going to do this to make it work, but I'm going to need you to do this too. But at the same time, like, you really do realize that if there is a problem, you can't be around for everything.
Yeah.
Like, when I was back at home, cool. I hear about a lot of things. I was able to offer my advice, but because of like financial situations or not being able to get around or whatever, you know, people still find a way to solve these problems with or without me. And it's kind of like being out here, you kind of realize it a lot differently, but still as deeply. You know, like whatever's happening back at home, like it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And we either gonna figure it out or we gonna figure it out, because it's really not an option to, you know, not get it done. So yeah, the world will keep spinning with or without you.
For me, when before I moved here, I was in a really bad place where, you know, I had just got deployment, just got the Air Force, and you know, I was seeing I had PTSD, and it was a struggle for me to even go to work, and I had health issues too. That was And I believe it was because of the stress. I had a lot of health issues going on too, and the doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong. And you know, I just kept praying, like, you know, I have to get out of this space, because it was to the point where I thought about ending my life. And I was like, you know, I feel like I'm stuck. I'm always putting on a smile when I go to work, and I'm always taking care of everybody else. And I'm like, but who's taking care of me, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I got here, it was just like a lot of weight lifted up. Like, God just answered my prayers. Like, you know, I have my husband, you know, we were trying to figure that out. And it's just a lot of like weight lifted off my shoulders. And, you know, I was just really happy, you know what I mean? Ever since I've been here, I have not had any health issues at all. I was in and out of the hospital. It's just crazy, because it's like, you know, what happened? Like, I'm here.
In America, there's stress, and there's just literally, like you guys keep on saying, so much is going on. Like,
stress and processed food.
Stress and processed food.
I mean, great, we in Taichung, the air is terrible out here. But
it's still better than America.
I much rather walk around for an hour in Taichung and eat half of the stuff that I was eating when I was back in America. Except for catfish, though. I don't care where that comes from. I'm gonna eat that.
I agree. I think a lot of people don't. And I think when I'm doing interviews with people to try to get them to come out here and work or talk to friends about the experience, like, man, I'm like, you guys have, it's so much going on. And that's the only thing that's holding you back is all the things that you think you have to be connected to and committed to. Mm-hmm. That's commitment is different, but like connected to. And it's like, if you let those things go just for a moment. And also my little sister said, hey, live your life for yourself. Mm-hmm. She was like, well, I just don't want to get a boyfriend because I just want to focus on me. I'm like, yeah, do that, but also remove yourself from everything else that's also holding you back. So yeah, like, I didn't travel this way because my best friend didn't want to go with me. I didn't do this because I want to be there for mom. And it's like, hey, sometimes you got to take a step back and do what's best for you. We don't really understand the power in that, mm-hmm. and how much you learn from yourself and about yourself when you actually take those steps to make that happen. Again, some of us are kind of just put into that position just, you know, by chance, but sometimes it happens, well, most times it happens for a good reason. And like you said, I agree. I am very happy in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and I don't want to sound like I don't love my family, but it's like, I'm a lot happier in Taiwan than I was when I went back to America. Mm-hmm. And it's not because, Lynn, love my family, there's nothing like them. It's not them that makes me unhappy. It's just the environment of being in America itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Having to worry about, again, getting pulled over by the police, getting shot in the street, the competition in the workplace, the job, having to find jobs, having to work for white people, just, I mean, honest. Yeah. But it's just like, you know, things like that, whereas out here, it's just like, man, I mean, I feel like I have so much more control over my daily life. Exactly. And it's just,
would you say that you're the master of your fate?
And Captain Marcel, like, that's just a...
You've always been a master builder.
It's a very, very strong feeling. Unless they work for white people, I mean, like, work for white people that I had to work for, because they weren't really... I've worked for some good white people. One of them. So, I mean, well, not one of them was really good. The rest of them were terrible. So, I mean, yeah, that's important.
Good is relative.
But there's a lot of stuff going on. Thanks, Faith.
You like mushrooms.
Yeah, so much drama. Especially you popular like Faith, because you got what? 10,000-20,000 followers.
Hey, so, you got so many followers. Like, don't even say with. The zeros. No, we just got a K.
Everyone says a K if you have a 1,000.
Oh, sorry, I don't have 1,000 more.
I don't. Mine literally says I have 1,000.
Mine says that too.
Exact, no, yours says 10.6K. No, it doesn't. It says you have 10.6K followers. You have 400 posts.
And you follow
326 people. The only reason I know is because I recently tagged you and something.
You just made me an Instagram girl, and none of that is true.
Famous, definitely Instagram.
Twitter. So I guess a good note to end on is, like, I know for people listening to this podcast, got a lot of feedback. Our young black women. My sister is leading the project where she shares these podcasts when I have women of color on. She has with them to kind of give them insight on what they can do, like, outside of.
Is that why we have so many black women on the podcast?
No, we just got real lucky lately.
I was about to say, shout out to you, man, for making this happen.
Ready to come back? I'm gonna get him to come.
But yeah, I do want to have more men. But like this, like last notes or anything that you guys want to end on, any like feedback, advice just for young women of color that are trying to get out here and see the world or have similar experiences like you guys.
Well, I think that the best advice for young women of color definitely comes from a black man. So let me just weigh in. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Yo ass.
I'm glad.
Well, my thing is, don't be afraid. You know, I meet a lot of black women who are, they're sheltered. I was sheltered as well. But, I'm scared to leave America or even leave their town, you know what I mean? Like, my family, you know, they they're from a small town, and they, aren't you scared? When I first told them I was moving, they're like, aren't you scared? And are, you know, they don't even like going to a different state, you know what I mean? So don't be afraid, and don't be close-minded. Just do what you want to do. I mean, the sky's the limit. God is everywhere. So go ahead and he'll follow you wherever you go. Just take him with you. That's it.
Faith to share one third to Sunny D.
I mean, like 6,000 snaps to KT for that, but
yes,
what could I say? Don't diminish yourself or feel the need to, you know, limit or shun your light in light of what anybody else is gonna feel about you or think about you or perceive you to be. Like, it's okay to be sassy. It's okay to be shy. It's okay to be whoever you want to be in your own kind of blackness. I think we always think we have to fit into somebody's archetype of black woman, or you're afraid to fit into somebody's stereotype of black woman. But do you. Do you. Whatever makes you you, do it.
Another thing, I know a lot of...
Get you a man who doesn't want people to tell him he's
So another thing, like, a lot of people, I'm just going to put it out there, a lot of people smoke weed. I know a lot of people that smoke weed. That smoke, and they, so I smoke weed over here, huh?
No, you can't.
I'm like, no. But people limit themselves, though.
Yeah, based off
that. People limit come to visit based off that.
Yes.
We don't blow the whole time there, like, bro.
You can take a week off. You ain't that stressed out there.
Well, niggas don't do more than weed most of the time. You know, if you're doing more than weed, then you...
You're doing too much.
Try stuff is one thing. To do stuff,
I got family members that legit will not come out here.
He probably gonna listen to it, but so what? He literally said, like, you know, like, I smoke every day, I'm trying to get my weed company up, and I'm like, so yeah,
bring
like,
you some edibles and call
me. He was trying to build a brand out here and bring like a whole business where he can actually make money, and I was gonna help him get all things set up, but his turning point was like, man, I can't smoke no weed, like, for real? And I'm like, nah, bro, you'll get deported, and you ain't gonna be up in my house smoking weed and get me deported,
right,
too.
Right.
Was like, nah, it's like, yeah, like, I gotta really think about it. Like, that, to me, is mind-blowing. You're gonna pass up on opportunity to expand, just to have a different experience based off something that you can get. You can actually get in other countries, just not in this one.
Yeah.
It just, I don't like, make
we,
no sense.
We can legit just go fly, like.
Like, you can
that's
go.
Crazy.
Like,
that's
you,
crazy.
But,
that's
like, it's like, again, I weed's legal, all that shit, yeah. But I'm like, that's dependency. That's an addiction.
Yeah.
Where you can't leave where you are or to do something amazing because of, you can't smoke.
That's crazy.
It's a waste of money.
Like, I'm having a rough time not smoking. Not rough. But I'm having, like, a hard time knowing that I can't smoke. But at the same time, it's like, okay, whatever. Next problem.
Right. I was queen weed head.
See?
I lived in LA, DC, all the places where weed is legal. So,
man,
if I can do it, you can do it.
Right, that's really what it is. It's like, we can.
I'm sure. Sometimes you want to come on, you want to roll up one real quick, but you know you can't. So you just, you know, you play video game or something. Go outside and hug somebody.
Go out.
Get some red. Get some red wine in a book.
You ever try and masturbate? That shit's pretty dope.
Another story for another
day. Tune in to the next episode.
After I do that, all I want to do is roll up.
That's fair, sir.
I'm going to say, that was a man saying that. 1 minute, that's not going to cut it.
Sometimes I like to get real drunk and then like sit on my hand until it go numb. And then I don't know.
So, what I
call it a stranger.
So we're not gonna end on that one. So what I do want to end the podcast by saying just a few things. The first, I think for us especially, it's always a privilege and an honor to be in the room with any black woman. But especially for today, we're in the room with some amazing and phenomenal black women. I know KT is in the military. It's a very secret job that we can't really talk about. But she's a married woman out here doing her thing. I have all these amazing experiences and all this talent. And I think it's amazing to just, you know someone like you. So thank you for being here, for one. Also for inviting us when you met us one time, for two. And welcoming us into your circle.
And for your service.
And for your service. Thank you guys. D, I don't know if you guys know it or not. Probably don't if you listen to it and you just follow me only. But she has a YouTube series she was working on in the past. She travels all over training people of color and other people on different things that are going on. She's been doing amazing things in time. I've been on her for 3 years. So, again, a privilege and an honor to be in your presence. Faith, I know you're new here, but you've been supermodeling back at home. Took a chance of one person who just called you and said, come out here, and you came out here. And I consider you one of my good friends already. I want to become better friends, obviously, but you're definitely a good friend. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys. It's really a privilege and honor to be in your presence. And thank you guys for blessing us today with an amazing podcast. And I hope that we were able to give you guys something. And I hope that I know that you guys gave us a lot of knowledge, a lot of gems, and a lot of excellence today. So again, genuine and heartfelt thank you guys for just showing up today.
Thank you for Patrick. Having us.
Final thing, if you are listening to the podcast, you made it this far, and you would like to submit questions that you want us to feature on our next podcast, feel free to email us at carl@cptravels.com or patrick@cptravels.com. We'll take those questions and we'll try to implement them into our next podcast.
And as always, click the link in the bio to learn more about our mission and what we're trying to do out here and how we're trying to spread the message of successful Black expats all over the world to people back at home in America who really need to hear these stories. So as always, I'm Carl.
I'm Patrick.
And we are
CP Travel. Squad! You messed it up! We made it the whole podcast without a mess up, and then we got to the end. It's supposed to be
changed. Right, y'all think. Like, what was y'all to be thinking?
We out shit.